Hello and welcome back to the ring. I, of course, am your host, the one and only, yes, it's me, Dr. B.O.B., and with me as always, the consigliere of the Dr. Bob Medical Practice, the man who's coming to you live from the bow of Jenny One aboard the Bubba Gump Shrimp Boat himself in the middle of a hurricane, the one and only Rob the Lawyer. How are you today, Rob?
I'm doing well. Hopefully we can get through this show without the power going off.
Yes. Rob texted me. He's like, "It's coming down."
Yeah, I figured I'd give you some warning just in case all of a sudden we just lose, like, you know, we lose the connection.
Not that that hasn't happened before for absolutely no reason either.
I know, watch the show go smoothly now.
Yeah, knock on wood here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I usually write down stuff from this week in wrestling that I was like, oh, I want to talk about this, I want to talk about that. Man, I don't have anything to talk. Well, I guess we could talk a little bit about the pay-per-views.
We could talk about
that. That was last weekend. Yeah. Yeah. Did you watch any of the pay-per-views?
I watched the highlights of it because I didn't get a chance to watch all of it. I watched the Rollins AJ match, which I thought was some of the best wrestling I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Not just as a whole, but also from AJ as well as Rollins. I just thought it was seamless. And, you know, there was actually a story in the ring with Rollins having his leg, worked on the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
And it made for a good story.
Yeah. I thought that was a very good match. Not my match of the night, though, but it was a very good match.
What was your match of the night?
I got to go with Cody and Brock, man. That match was
that
so
was better
good.
Than I thought.
And so back and forth. And when Cody like started using the cast as a weapon, and I was just like, oh man, this is really good storytelling. Like just in between the two of them. And now, like, you know, of course Cody comes out on Monday. And he's like, are you really happy with that win? Like, you beat a one-armed man, you know, you know what I mean? So of course they're going to do Brock and Cody 3. Maybe probably at Money in the Bank. I don't see why not. Like, do get that over with and get Cody back on Roman by SummerSlam.
Yeah, I can see that happening. That gives Roman plenty of time to work with the Usos and, you know, gets him ready for a, you know, big match at SummerSlam with Cody.
Mm-hmm. And then
right before that,
because he's going to be at pretty much every SmackDown until SummerSlam, so I think they're going to let that Usos thing play out on TV instead of mostly on pay-per-view like it has been.
Yeah. You know what I'm confused about, though?
What's that?
I thought it was Jey Uso who had the problem with Roman.
Well, he did in the beginning, remember? And then Roman pretty much beat him into submission by threatening Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So Jimmy just kind of got a free pass into the bloodline. So he didn't have to go through all the shit that Jey went through. So that's why
right.
Jey was like, oh, you don't know what you've done. Like, you have no clue what shit has befallen you.
Okay, but that makes sense then. Because I was trying to figure out, why is it Jimmy? I thought Jey was the one who's always had a problem with Roman.
Yeah.
That's how I've always been treating the whole bloodline story, that it was like, this is Jey's storyline. He's the one who has to put an end to the bloodline.
I think ultimately it is, but I think Jimmy was just the one who had the gumption, and of course he didn't, you know, he doesn't have the history that Jey does with Roman in
True.
That respect. So he was the one who could pull the trigger. Jay's gonna have to pretty much deal with most of the aftermath.
True.
Know? And of course we'll see that tomorrow night, or I guess tonight, we'll see it tomorrow night as this is being recorded. Put it that way.
Yeah. I know what you meant.
But overall,
viewers pardon, but
top to bottom, great pay-per-view, probably best pay-per-view of the year, in my opinion, just because all the matches were good. Everything made sense. Ali and Gunther delivered. You know,
that was a good match too, actually. Yeah.
I
really enjoyed it. I didn't see the full match of that when I saw the highlights of it, and I was very surprised. I'm surprised for two reasons. One, I was surprised that Lee went down to NXT afterwards, but I thought he had a great showing. He looked like a star.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's getting into the middle of a super hot program in NXT though for North American Championship.
Not,
so
I'm not taking it away from him. I just figured, you know, there'd be more use for him on the main roster or on, you know, on whatever. What's he on? He's on Raw right now, right?
Yeah.
That's what he was on. I just figured they could use him more, especially after that showing. They made him look so good.
Well, see, I think the thing is they wanted to have him have one good showing, then kind of drop off of TV for a while, go down to NXT, rehab his character a little bit, get some good wins. He can eat losses in NXT, and it won't affect him on Raw. You know what I mean?
True.
So when he shows back up on Raw, maybe with somebody having defeated Gunther, then, you know, then we've got that. Now you're cooking. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, because, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Just keep him away from Dijak. We
Yeah.
don't need a Retribution to come back.
Well, no, have him and Dijak work a program.
Oh yeah, make them face each other, but
Yeah.
don't claim he was what was his name? Crowbar? No,
Mace? No, T-Bar.
Mace was T-Bar. Yeah,
T-Bar,
that
yeah.
was jeez.
Yeah, that whole thing. And that was, this was, a, see, this was one of those things. What was that? What was the name of that group again?
Retribution.
Retribution, yeah. He, like, that group and the whole Raw Underground thing and everything, like, when it was going on, I was like, this is stupid. In 6 months, everybody's going to hate this. And everybody's like,
Yep.
oh, yeah, you stupid. You stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know anything about anything. This is awesome. And then, what is 6 months later, Brawl Underground's completely fucking forgotten. Like, I could
And
probably,
Retribution is jobbed out.
yeah, and Retribution is, it was dumb to begin with because there were like 40 of them. And I was like, there's no way. This is stupid. And they're cutting the ring up and whatever,
Yeah.
you know. And what do they want
I mean, they
retribution for being in NXT?
I mean, they did something. At least they did something different for the, when they were inside the Thunderdome or whatever it was called.
I guess when you are, yeah, if you're going to experiment, that was the time to do so.
Yeah. And I will say this. I like the concept of Raw Underground.
Yeah.
I thought if they made it more like a shoot fight thing,
Yeah.
they could have done more with it. Like I thought Ziggler, who I think was had more of the wins on that thing in
Yeah.
that segment. Like I thought they could have used him more because he does have that collegiate, amateur wrestling background, and make it more like just takedowns and like one counts or whatever you have to do to get the, for like a point system or something. They could have done something with it, and I don't know what. I guess it's because they didn't have a lot of fan reaction because there was no fans
There were no
there.
fans, yeah.
They couldn't gauge how well it was being received or what was working or what wasn't, and they just decided, what, scrap the whole thing.
Well, I mean, that was obviously a Shane McMahon idea.
Yeah,
And
it had potential, more
yeah,
so than
okay.
Retribution.
I mean, I'll let you have your opinion.
Yeah. I didn't say it had a lot of potential. I just said it had potential.
Yeah. You know, it worked shoot fights would have been if it had been worked shoot fights, like looking like a shoot fight,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like a little bit more gritty than just in-ring competition, you know, maybe, but there's only so many people that can do that well. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not like you can just throw any greenhorn in there and be like,
No.
okay, start in the, you know, start in an, you've got 30 seconds to get a dominant position over your opponent. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to know what the fuck you're talking about unless they, you know, were, unless they wrestled in amateur levels. And then just because you wrestled in amateurs doesn't mean you were any good at it. Everybody's
That
not
is
Dolph Ziggler
true.
or Chad Gable or something,
Yeah,
you know,
that's
which
true.
Chad Gable would have been a great guy to have in Raw Underground because he does have that background. I would watch a full-on amateur wrestling match between Dolph Ziggler and Chad Gable.
I think that would be amazing.
I think that would be
Give him a two
really
out of three
good.
falls match up, do it as a pure wrestling match. And I think it would be, it would tear the house down.
Because they can both go. They're both probably about the same weight, I would imagine. I think Gable probably has a couple more pounds on Dolph because he's a little thicker. But Dolph's a little bit taller, so.
That's what I was going to say. What he lacks in, I guess dexterity, he makes up for in height.
Well, yeah, size.
Size,
Yeah.
yeah.
But No, so yeah, that was a good pay-per-view. The NXT pay-per-view was good and bad. I kind of it's kind of what I figured it would be. The tag title match between Gallus and the Creed brothers was amazing. Just absolutely amazing. The last man standing match was the last man standing match, but Ilya and or Dragunov and Dijak did a good job putting it together to make it. They had me. They really had me going until Dijak pulled out the kendo stick, and I was like, really? And then he has Ilya supposedly tied up in the ropes, but Ilya's just kind of sitting there being hit with a kendo stick, and I'm like, come on, man. Like, you've done such a good job of making this look realistic, like you guys are really beating the shit out of each other without cooperation, and now you've got a guy just sitting there getting hit with a kendo stick.
Exactly.
It took me out of it, but the ending was good. Best finish of the weekend still to me is was Trish and Becky, because that came out of freaking nowhere. You know what I mean? Like Zoe Stark's, I was like, I that was the last thing I expected, was Zoe Stark's coming out from under the ring.
Yeah. I didn't see that alliance coming at all.
No.
I mean, first off, I didn't think Trish would be sticking around any longer than this week. I didn't understand. I couldn't, in my mind, I couldn't see her losing that match because it'd be her first true singles match back. And it was involved in a feud. It wasn't like a one-off at, any time. It was a pure feud.
Yeah, it wasn't like it at Evolution where she was just having a match with Charlotte because she
Yes.
wanted to have a match. This was
Yeah, this was
an actual
a.
story.
Yeah, so I was like, she can't lose, but if she's not sticking around, she can't win. So what's gonna happen here? And then, now this report's coming out that she's gonna stay for the foreseeable future. And, it made sense that she could pick up the win using a heel tactic. And I really, I always am very hesitant to like Zoe's finish because I just think if there's any miscalculation, even the slightest bit, you're gonna get hurt, and that kind of happened
Oh
at
yeah, Becky got a bloody nose.
yeah. But I mean, the move looks good. It's basically the go to sleep, but with a twist, like a
Like a
literal
tilt-a-whirl
twist.
go to sleep,
Yeah,
which
and she does it. She's good at it. She keeps it safe. But like I said, you mistime that just by a fraction of a second, and you're gonna be, hurting somebody.
Oh yeah, well that's also one of the ones where the other person has to know how to take it, but
Yes, 100%.
I think that's also something, that you're gonna have to like practice makes perfect, and so your opponent's gonna have to you're gonna have to explain to them how to move with this
Yeah.
move. You know what I mean? So that's like when the Midnight Express introduced the flapjack the first time we ever saw it, when we saw it the other week, and the guy almost fell face first into the canvas because he didn't they didn't ex you know what I mean? He didn't fully understand you have to completely tense your body up or you're gonna fall face first. You basically have to go
Yes.
up and then almost arch your back backwards so you can fall flat instead of diving nose first into the canvas. Like
Very true, yep.
a back double back body drop. But so yeah, anything like that that's and I would say that that move is pretty innovative. Like that's not something I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen it done like that before anyway.
No, I mean it's part, and it's a new move that I haven't that really no one has used yet in mainstream wrestling, but it's a logical move too. Like, I don't want to talk too much about other people's finishers since we're not there's really nothing to talk about, but there are certain finishers out there that you can only hit for a certain position, and looks the setup is ridiculous for it. And but this one is just like you put him in a fireman's carry and then you flip him around, or not a fireman's carry, but you just, that's basically how you set the whole move
Well,
up.
the fireman's carry takedown, and then you twist him around into a
Yeah.
it's cr I'd have to go back and watch it in slow motion to actually describe what happens segment per segment of the move, but It's speaking of segmented movement, the AEW bore AEW Fight Forever footage has come out.
You know, I figured you'd want to talk about this a little bit. Oh
It's
my
so
God.
bad. It is
They're just
so bad.
they're gliding.
I
There's
know.
no movement. Like there's no like I granted I haven't had a chance to play it myself, but I've only seen the videos. But there's like no it's like they're hovering above the ring. If you watch the footage, they're not walking and like reacting as if you were walking on like a ground. They're like gliding. And then they're teleporting. It moves, and it's like I saw one move of one of the Bucks. I can't remember which one it was, and it's like a slingshot into a Canadian destroyer, and there's no rhyme or reason for how that move should have hit in the game. Like it's just he launches himself in, and then all of a sudden they flip over each other. And I'm like, I missed a step because I didn't even see him grab the guy. He just, flung himself in and became and hit a destroyer. And then it's like their striking moves remind me so much of the WWE All Stars, where it's like deliberately cartoony, and but they're trying to pitch it as like this is a spiritual successor to No Mercy, where No Mercy didn't have such poor collision detection, such poor like. It didn't look like it was a. I mean, it was a video game, but it didn't look like it was trying to just be animated. If that makes sense, I'm not sure. I don't know how else to
No,
explain it.
that's exactly. This one looks like it looks drawn. It doesn't look,
Yes.
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes, it does. It looks like a graphic representation of the people, not a true to life representation. And poor Eddie Kingston, man, they did him dirty.
Oh, I know. It's like they didn't this.
He looks like
It's
King
like
Kong
when
Bundy,
he does.
you know?
100%.
And Jericho's got like a gut with abs on it. Like, I don't.
He looks like Fat Thor. I'm not even joking. Like I knew that was I know on my Twitter I said that like they include Fat Thor, but that's 100%
That's
true. He looks
exactly
like Fat
what he
Thor.
looks
I'm
like.
not even kidding. Like I know he's Jericho, but it's post Thanos Thor.
Well, here's my biggest thing. The gliding is bad when you go for a move that the guy's not exactly in the right position for, and he just kind of switches into the position. You know what I mean? Like you go to grab a collar elbow tie up, but the guy's still selling one of those ridiculous looking punches, and he just suddenly is in a collar and elbow tie up. There's no transition from the selling of the punch to the tie up. He's just there. And then, but it's almost like you can see the game thinking in between, like if you got him in a collar and elbow tie up and then you go for like a DDT or something, it's like it doesn't happen naturally. It happens in segments. It's like you do dupe and then he's in the DDT position and then he gets the DDT and then suddenly your guy's back up. You know what I mean? It doesn't, like, nothing flows together. It's so choppy. It's
Like even
just,
the TNA video game was much better than this.
you know,
Like Impact Wrestling, the game,
but
so it just felt a little bit more like a simulation. This one just like I mean, like, granted, it's hard to say when you haven't touched the game, but it's just not fluid. There's a choppiness to it,
you can
and it just looks.
skateboard and there's
Oh, the
mini
skateboarding looks
games.
horrible. It's like they never. It's like I don't know how to. It's like ice skating at this point. It's like there's no friction. There's no resistance. It's just we're
Skate
gonna
or
move.
Die looked better than this.
There was an old video game. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it was called Streets of Rage. Do you remember that game? You remember how there was in the third one they introduced that character Skate. He had more realistic skate movements than than what was shown in that video.
Yeah, the kid on the rollerblades. I love that character.
Yeah, I did too.
He was a ton of fun to play as.
Yeah,
Especially if
I
you were
mean hit.
partnered up with the big dude, got somebody else on the big wrestler, like,
Oh
oh man. Sorry.
But I mean those physics, those mechanics made like felt more real than what I'm seeing, or look more real than what I'm seeing on AEW's game.
Yeah, I mean, it's I get, like I said, I don't even think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be 3 months. I think within a month and a half of that the game's release, it's going to be used for like $10.
I would love this. That's when I'll buy it. I'll miss out on the Matt Hardy pre-order, but I can live without that.
Well, the server's not going to last much longer than a year anyway. I don't think. I really don't. Like, I don't think enough people are going to be playing it for that long. I think this has it. It looks to me like it has a very limited replay value. I mean, I could be wrong, and it could be, the next Street Fighter, but I just don't see it. And
I don't see it
see,
either.
and that's another thing. This is not a wrestling game. This is a fighting game with a wrestling theme.
Yeah.
And wrestlers in it, but this is a fighting game. This is the same thing all the AEW people were given WWE shit for when they came out with what was that WWE Bash'em or whatever it was that they came out with during the pandemic that was basically like a cartoonized
Oh yeah, I was. I
game.
think I know what you're talking about because it was like one segment where you fought in a swamp or something like
Yeah.
that.
So
Oh, I always
like
wanted that game actually, and
actually
I forgot all about it.
I heard that there was a ton of fun. Like it wasn't they were like, no, it's not wrestling, but it is so much fun to play. Who knows? I mean this it could be like that. I'm not, discounting that, but as far as a wrestling game goes, it is not good.
No.
And Dynamite this week was not good.
Don't know how you sit through it. I've stopped. I just
Well, I
watched this
don't.
on Twitter.
I mean, I fast forward through most of it. I fast forwarded through pretty much everything until the Tony Khan announcement because I like to watch him give his announcements like he's delivering the morning announcements at your local high school because that's exactly his cadence now. Like it's so funny from the guy who was so erratic all the time to now it's just like he's like a robot up there.
It's like he's on medication or something. He's totally devoid of any
He's off his
personality.
medication. I think that's what the problem is.
Oh.
Well, or I guess he's not on the medication he likes to be on, maybe.
Yeah. You know what I don't get? Okay,
What's
speaking
that?
of the Dynamite, why would you spoil the return of CM Punk?
Because the ticket sales for the Collision show are awful.
Okay, that's the only viable, that's the only answer I'll
They
accept.
haven't even sold a third of the available tickets.
Well, they've outsold Wembley apparently.
Okay, well, that's great. That's Wembley. That's a one-off in a new market that
That has
is
been dying for
that
wrestling, yeah.
that loves wrestling and has been dying for a big show. So, whoopty freaking do. Money in the Bank's going to be in London too. Woohoo!
Yeah.
No one's talking about those ticket sales, but that's fine. But what about the markets? That you have here in the U.S. If you can't get a third of the people, in the building, especially when it's a brand new show, you know what I mean? And you're like talking about a brand split and all of this, that would have been
Yeah.
a better thing to do is to be like there. Yes, there is going to be a hard brand split with the exception, kind of set up the rules for that, than to say, or but then again, saying CM Punk's going to be there will sell some tickets. And of course, all the people in the stadium, well, over half of them audibly were booing the return of CM Punk, which, I mean, if he's going to be a heel, I guess is cool, but when he's basically the one guy who's been able to sell tickets and pop your ratings since you've been in business, I mean, I think you would be a little bit more excited as a fan for that. But what do I know?
We don't know. We're not the AEW fan base.
Oh, no, we're not. No,
If
we're
we had that
definitely.
mentality, we'd be able to clearly understand what their big picture is, which is apparently to always, shoot themselves in the foot.
Well, I mean, and this is we'll get to the review. Don't worry, folks. The review is coming. But and I'm sure we'll get off on a number of tangents during the review. But Dynamite last night, all right? So I'm watching it. I really don't watch much of it because most of it is just awful. The one good match, which was the second to last match and should have been the last match, because the last match was a mixed tag match with Adam Cole and Britt Baker versus Chris Jericho and Saraya. And it was, somebody on Twitter said it was the first main event to ever happen in slow motion. And oh my God, was it true? And it made no sense. It was back and forth and back and forth. And there was no like hot tag, because you can't really, it's hard to set up a hot tag and enter in a mixed tag match, because as soon as one person gets tagged in, the other gender has to, or maybe it was intergender, I don't know. They didn't, at one point Britt Baker put her finish on Jericho, but he didn't, he got to the ropes. It was just bad, and Saraya should have stayed retired. I'm sorry, her neck is, if you have to handle her with kid gloves like she's a Fabergé egg every time she gets in the ring, she shouldn't be in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. She
And
needs to be more careful too. I mean, like her that what was that? The Rampage that
yeah.
she used at the end. She almost hurt Britt Baker.
Yeah.
Like that, she landed on her head. I mean, Baker has landed on her head more times than I can remember
Well, yeah,
in AEW.
I remember
But.
thinking, wouldn't it be ironic if freaking Saraya ended up giving somebody a neck injury?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that move is
goddamn.
not, that move should not be dangerous. I mean, Conan can pull that move off. I mean, that was his finish for a long time, and he knows how to pull it off perfectly. So it's not a dangerous finish, but it's
No.
like she gave no time to set up to so that Britt could land perfectly on her head, on her, on a, not on her head.
On his shoulders.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're supposed to land with that is your, that meaty part of the back of your shoulders there, if I remember
Yeah.
correctly. Yeah, it's just, it is what it is. And of course, Adam Cole is tiny and has zero muscle definition at all. I don't know, like, I guess in the performance center, they make you work out because he actually had, like, he had muscle definition in his legs and his arms. And, yeah, he wasn't a big guy, but he looked like he worked out. Here, he just, I mean, he just looks like a skinny dude. He looks like me when I was, 25. Probably, actually, I was probably in way better shape than when I was 25, because I was doing carpentry. I was doing house framing. So I was lugging wood around all day. So maybe
Yeah.
he looks, it looks like me when I was 30, after I had quit doing construction for a couple of years and just sat on the couch. Anyway, but the second to last match was Chris Statlander versus Nyla Rose for the TBS title, and it was actually a damn good match. Like, it wasn't a great match, but by AEW standards, it was pretty damn good. Both of the
I was
people,
impressed with,
oh, go ahead.
I saw the clip real fast. I saw Statlander. She's actually come a long way.
Yes.
I mean, there was a while where she was, like plateauing, but she looked pretty good the other night from
And I
what I
was
saw.
like, and I'm like, look, you have a perfect opportunity here. You've got this title that has basically been on this green girl's purse, basically a fucking fashion accessory for this girl that's super green. You've got it on somebody else now that can actually work. Make the champion and make the title actually mean something. Put it
Yeah.
on last, make it the main event of your show, because a mixed tag match ain't gonna get people to stay tuned, but a championship match between, a brand new champion that just wrestled 2 days ago or 4 days ago or whatever it was, like that's good. Like what they did on NXT this week, where Melo took on Noam Dar. Like, that's a main event, but what a, again. Tony's gonna Tony.
I like that.
Shit stain's gonna shit stain. Which, yeah, apparently he doesn't care about shit stain doesn't care about WWE at all. He just gets paid to talk bad about WWE.
Oh, I hate him. I like, I mean, don't hate him, hate him. I just don't get how he thinks. Like, he will defend his crap. And we're talking about Vince Russo. At least I assume we're talking about Vince
Yeah,
Russo.
yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, sorry there, folks. Yeah, we're talking about the one and only, the one and only bro, 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 bro.
He acts like he was did everything perfect during the Attitude Era, and during his time in WCW, where he, I mean, I'm sure,
And don't forget TNA.
oh, and TNA, yeah, I'm sure in his mind, and I, like he will, if it wasn't, if things didn't work out the way he was supposed to work out, it's because the powers that be, handcuffed him
Well,
in certain
they
ways.
didn't see my vision. They didn't
Exactly,
see his
but
vision.
I mean, much like you need to, make sure you, I don't know. Vince, from what I've read and from what I've seen, what I've heard about Vince Russo, he has ideas. He has no story. And he needs others to say, hey, to fill in the gaps. Like, he'll come up with something, but there's no structure to it. And that's what he was missing in WCW and in TNA. He had these great, and I use the term great loosely. He had these great starts, but there was nothing that followed.
Well, a lot of his stuff you couldn't go anywhere with. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Is it
Yeah.
like, okay, here we go. Beaver Cleaver. That was one of
Yeah.
his, right?
Yeah, it was. What do you do with it?
Yeah, what do you do with that? Look, Val Venus, man, he killed Val Venus with that gimmick. That's the
Yeah.
stupidest gimmick on the face of the planet. Like, because where do you go with it? You know what I mean? Like, and it's so, a lot of the shit he does is like stuff a 13-year-old would have done in, with the
In his wrestling
1991
video games.
roster. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
seriously, like, it's just, he really does have the mind of an adolescent, a 15-year-old, and that's where his aesthetic and his humor and all of that lies. And most people don't want to see that, every day.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason, when we get, when you get to be, in your 40s, you don't go back and watch the American Pie movies, one after another, because you're like, oh, this is really kind of stupid. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
Yeah. It doesn't hold up anymore.
no, it doesn't. It doesn't age well, and that's good. Great wrestling does age well, much like this episode we're about to review of WCW from January 24th, 1987, which holds up amazingly well. I thought this was another great episode. Not, I don't think it was as good as last week's, but I think it was pretty damn good.
The one thing I really liked about the last week's show and this week's show is that there's a clearly defined overarching story that I can at least follow. I mean, maybe there was more because we caught it at, I mean, we were catching at the end of the year a lot of the episodes, so maybe there were like stories that I was just wasn't like fully invested in yet. But this whole Luger storyline where him trying to, like he's recruiting the horseman's trying to maybe recruit him. And Wyndham's trying to keep him away from it. That it works because it draws me in. I want to see what happens next week now.
Well,
And
there
I
you
could
go.
easily look it up and read about it, but I actually want to watch next week's episode and figure out, well, where is this going? Is Luger a horseman? Because they planted some more seeds in there. And it draws you in. There's a nice, I like that. That's what's missing in a lot of modern wrestling. There's no, yeah, there's main storylines, but you literally have like five, six, seven segments devoted to this, and you have different wrestlers
Talking about it.
all somehow connected to this, whether it's Brad Armstrong and Tim Horner wanting to put down the Horsemen, or Barry Windham wanting to stop Luger from joining. And it's all connected to the Horsemen. They're trying to do that now with the Bloodline, with Sammy and Owens, and maybe a little bit of Riddle, but
It doesn't it, it it's not working the same because here's the thing. I'm sorry, I just cut you off, but
No, you're good.
here's the thing. The Bloodline have screwed over everybody. You see what I'm saying? But the only people who have really come back at them and had any sort of success or have even acknowledged that the bloodline screwed them over are Sammy and Kevin and Riddle a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they screwed over Seth. They screwed over Drew McIntyre. You know, basically everybody that Roman's gone up against, they've screwed over. But it's nobody else talks about it. You see what I'm saying? Nobody else is saying, on. Oh, by the way, yeah, I support Camp 7. Even if they just said, you know, I think what Sammy and Kevin are doing right now with, again, going up against the bloodline and up against Roman is just great. Like, all the baby faces should be, you know, piling on that, because then it creates this thing where, like, all the baby faces feel the same way about this faction, which is what is going on with the Horsemen here.
Exactly. I mean, what they could easily do for a Raw segment is, you know, or I don't even know what's, I guess they're on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. You know, what they could easily do is they have a match, they screw somebody over, they're getting beat down. Then you send out, you know, I'm going to conflate the rosters here because I don't know who's on what anymore. You send out Chad Gable at first, then he gets beat down. Then you send someone else, and all of a sudden here comes Sammy. Then you have an entire, you know, it looks like, it looks more organic, I guess, when you have more people trying to get involved other than, well, this is Sammy's business. We're just going to sit back and, you know, let him handle it, even though Roman kept me from winning the title because Solo Sikoa came out and, you know, did a throat chop to me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or spike to me. I mean, Cody easily could have come out there a few times to help them out, to cheer them on, but, you know, he didn't. That's, you know, because of the storyline with Brock. But, I mean, that's why it's not working. You're 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes this, you know, this, these episodes that we're watching much more captivating.
Because it bleeds over.
Yeah, it bleeds over and everybody's involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody even the tag division is involved in it. So it's not just like, oh, it's the main players. No, you got Tim Horner, you got Brad Armstrong, you got
the Rock and Roll Express are talking about. The Rock and Roll Express are buddies with Dusty, and Dusty's involved in it because the Horsemen attacked
Dusty. The
Boogie
Boogeyman's in it too. Yeah. I mean, you got everybody is talking about the Horsemen. Everybody is going after the Horsemen, and it's just, you know, it's fun because you're watching the main story of, is Luger going to be a Horseman, and who's going, you know, the implication being who's getting removed, who's getting kicked out. The other story is who's going to, you know, be the ones to take, you know, to give the Horsemen their comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have a lot of things going in there with all these players, and it's just, you know, it's captivating. It really makes you want to keep watching.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of which, watching it, we did. starts off, we open with Barry and Rick in the intros for Cold Open. That's their intros to the match. Now, we're going to get most of that match later on, and I did a full-on write-up review like I do of like a pay-per-view match for this, because this match was so damn good. Like,
I just wish they've showed the whole match.
I mean,
seems like we got it to in the middle. Like, I mean, and when I say middle, I mean like the last 10 minutes or however long it was that we saw. I mean, I think they were going on for at least an hour. I don't know what the time limit draw, the time limit
was
on that one.
I have a feeling it was probably about 45 minutes.
Yeah. I was thinking of 60
maybe,
minutes, to be honest.
Maybe less. Cause they only did two, commercial breaks, so because they did one commercial break in the middle, so that's usually about 15 minutes give or take per 7 minutes per segment, give or take about 15 minutes. They started 25 minutes in, so that's about a 40 minute match. It was a TV time limit, time remaining. We could probably find it in on the Mid-Atlantic, because I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was the Mid-Atlantic show that they were televising that.
While we talk about everything, I'm going to look it up. I'm very curious about that.
Let's see. We get the intro with the cool music. We just get Tony Schiavone today. David Crockett. But Tony does a much better job than he did last time, and I'll talk about that later. Come out, we get Ivan and Vladimir doing a promo. Ivan says that Dusty's responsible for Nikita turning. Well, no kidding. And then says he's also bringing the Big Red Machine. And I was like, Big Red Machine? I thought Vladimir was supposed to be the Big Red Machine, number one. Number two,
they all are.
Number two, is he bringing Kane? Because when you say Big Red Machine, that's what I think. Yes, I know this is, you know, 10 years before Kane even existed.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then we get a 10-second Jimmy Valiant match versus Randy Barber, in which he doesn't even bother to take off his coat. Tim Horner comes out for a promo, and he's talking about the horsemen and stuff, and kind of starts stumbling. And thank God Jimmy Valiant comes in and
Oh, I
saves
know.
the promo.
I wrote down there, Jimmy saves the day. He
Yes.
injected energy into this promo. And like the way I looked at it, Tim kind of like tried to ignore that he was there. He is, shooting down the barrel of the camera. He is looking at it, just like trying to look all tough. And here's Jimmy just acting crazy, talking about Grandparents' Day
Yeah, happy Grandpa's Day.
or Grandpa's Day, yeah. And then going on, and they're going to take a flight, and they're going to go out. I think they mentioned something. I think he might have mentioned something about the horsemen a few times.
Yeah.
And then, as the camera pans away, he gives Tim a kiss.
Yes.
And Tim no sells it. He's just like, whatever.
I love Jimmy Valiant. I really do.
Oh no, it was beautiful. I thought I love that segment. I love Jimmy. He injected life into that dead promo.
He really did, because Horner was like, I mean, I get what he was saying, but it was just, I don't know, like he was trying to fire up, but he kept, getting his words confused and whatnot, which, I mean, it happens. I mean, heck, it happens to Brad Armstrong, but at least he admits it. Because when they come back from the break, we get an Armstrong promo, and he's talking about how he can't go word for word with Ric Flair, but he can go move for move in the ring. And then we get the VTR of apparently Brad had a match or something, and they wanted him to do an interview. And then Rick comes in saying that Brad Armstrong's taking up his interview time, and they start getting into it. And Brad shoves Rick, and then Tully and the
Tully comes
Horsemen
out.
come out and beat the shit out of Brad. And that was a really good little piece of business there. I was like,
It
that,
was.
and Brad was fired up. Like, that was the thing about Tim Horner and Brad. The juxtaposition there is Tim Horner was acting like he was mad. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas Brad Armstrong really looked like he was mad. He looked like he
Yeah.
was upset. He looked like he was pissed that, they told me to come out here. Who are you interrupting my time? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I will say the only thing that would have made that entire segment better would be to put that VTR before Brad came out, because Tony was basically having Brad react to something that that the fans had not seen yet.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just really bad production order,
Yeah.
because I'm like, I and then of course Brad's description doesn't really fit what was being said, or
Yep.
I'm sorry, what had actually happened, because it made it seem like he was beat down before he could get out there and stuff. But I mean, still, it was. That's just me being nitpicky. They should have flipped it around.
Oh yeah. Well, I
But
want
I agree with you 100%. I mean, you had Tim Horner, who was just, they say basically send him out there, act tough,
Yeah.
act aggravated. But Tim is very vanilla. He doesn't have, his range of emotions is like linear.
Yes.
Brad, though, I mean, he looked like, okay, like when Tim stumbled over his words, it's because he was like trying to think of what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
When Brad was stumbling over his words, it was because he was so fired up and angry that his like it's almost like a common thing where you're just so angry you have no idea what you're saying at this point, because it's just your brain is thinking one thing, what's coming out of your mouth is another. And he was just revved up to 100.
Oh yeah.
And it just came across more natural, more organic. And Flair did a good job of antagonizing him. So I mean, I think it also helped because he had that person to go off of,
Yeah.
whereas Horner was operating in a vacuum and
Well,
just
yeah.
told be like this. So he could he
True.
Brad had the fortunate luck to be in front of Flair and to feed off of Flair's energy, to basically go banter back and forth, which I think helped a lot. It was a good promo, though. It was probably one of Brad's best ones.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember if he had much, but that's probably one of his better ones that I've ever seen.
One thing I noticed, and of course, this is just me noticing little shit and, fantasy booking it in my head, but Tully was the first person to come out and attack Brad. And I was like, and then I'm sitting here and we're talking about it, I'm like, man, I want to see Brad versus Tully for that television title.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing. I thought that's what they were setting up.
I really want to see that match now because, Tully's been going up against jobbers for a couple of weeks. It's time for him to have a competitive match against somebody.
Yeah.
And Brad would be a more entertaining match than Tim Horner was, and that match went forever. It just, oh God. If you haven't been paying attention, folks, like 2 weeks ago, it was Tim Horner versus Tully Blanchard for the television title, and it just went on and on and on, and just it didn't. It
Tim
never,
Horner
hardly ever
promo.
went. Hardly ever went anywhere. But anyway, coming out of that, we get Baron Von Raschke and Dick Murdoch versus Larry Stevens and Brody Chase. Murdoch hits the brainbuster for the win. Then they deliver a promo. Murdoch wants Tully's belt and some of that $10,000, which I can't blame him there. Of course, we get the famous Baron Von Raschke, "That's all the people need to know," line, which always pops me. We get Tully versus Zane Smith for the TV title, which was, again, another basically a Tully squash match.
Yeah.
Go to break, come back, and here we have the VTR of Barry Windham versus Ric Flair. Starts 25 minutes in. Let's see. Stop me if you want to say something, because this is a lot that I've wrote
down.
I'll
let you go all now. Go all in on this one.
Let's see. We got Flair. We start out, Flair's in control. Windham makes a good comeback, but Flair cuts it off, puts the figure four on Windham. Flair cheating by holding onto the ropes, and he gets caught. Barry starts selling the leg. Barry does a great sunset flip over the top rope for a two count. Flair gets the sleeper on. Barry delivers the clothesline from the middle rope, goes for the pin. Flair gets the leg on the rope. Barry delivers a suplex goes for the top. He delivers a suplex, goes for the top rope missile drop kick, but misses. And then Flair gets dumped to the outside. Flair begins begging off, and Barry ends up getting the figure four on him. Flair gets into the ropes. I wrote Barry has Flair here. Like, this is towards the end of the match. He's got him. He's got him on his heels. Barry is in full control of this match. Ric Flair is doing everything he can to get away from Barry Windham. They start. They have a nice back and forth with some punches. They announce 5 minutes left in the match. Drop kick from the top rope. Ref gets dazed. There's a two count. The ref was still dazed with the drop kick. I think the drop kick, he fell on the ref or something. I can't remember what it was that the ref went down for. But anyway, Barry gets the sleeper. They announce 4 minutes left. But Flair gets his back, ends up getting a back suplex. Flair goes to go off the top rope. Barry reverses it, and they get a two count. 3 minutes left. Barry's so close to winning, I wrote. 2 minutes left. Big clothesline. He hits the big clothesline, and Flair rolls out to the apron, brings him in with a suplex. 1 minute left. The suplex gets a two count. 30 seconds left. Barry hits a power slam for a two count. Finally hits his lariat, and Flair is saved by the bell at two. Right as the bell rings for television time is over. Super exciting match. I know that doesn't really do it completely justice, but that match, from the moment they started to there, that match was, it would, they were cooking, like they were going. There wasn't a whole lot of downtime right there. And that
no,
was
I mean,
25
they were,
minutes
they
in.
They were firing on all cylinders on that match. There was no rest holds. It was just move after move. I mean, they were selling.
Mm-hmm.
But they were aggressive with the match.
Yeah, well, they were trying. Barry was trying to win, and he knew he had Ric on the ropes. You know, he had him. But you know, he hit the lariat, and Ric rolled out to the apron. It was always, you know what I mean? Just one. And
yeah.
Barry said it. He was like, "If I had just been a little bit quicker, one or two times, I probably could have got it." Barry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Barry, this was actually one of the best promos he's delivered since he's gotten to the Jim Crockett Promotions. Because this felt real. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it felt honest, and it felt like this is a guy who respects his opponent, but also doesn't respect him in the same sense. He knows that he could have had him beat, but he didn't. But he's sure he could get him beat again. Like, it's a good babyface promo. And that's what Barry is. He's becoming a good babyface. So, kudos to Barry, Windham, and Ric Flair. It helps when you have one of the best workers ever on the face of the planet helping to get you over.
Oh, yeah.
But Barry definitely showed why he's one of the top guys.
100%. And I mean, and Flair wasn't holding back either. I mean, he actually got his top rope move off too.
Yes, he got to
The
jump off the
cross body
top rope.
block. Yeah.
Yeah, because
I mean,
he
it
did
got
the cross
reversed, but
body and then Barry reversed it into a two count.
yeah, he rolled through it. I thought that was impressive. I know I think the only time I've seen Flair come off the top rope and hit a move was with like a double axe handle. So it was a see him throw a cross body.
Yep.
Yeah, that was very impressive. And you know, I mean they went for broke on that match. They did everything they could think of.
Yeah. There, I don't think there was a really anything in their arsenal left after
No.
that match.
And it's the little things too. I mean, Flair is obviously the heel in this, and he's doing heel tactics. He's crawling out of the ring when the when Barry hits a lariat. He's using the ropes to his advantage. They're little small things instead of just kicking out, you know, like, oh, he kicked out of the the clothesline for the third time in the match. No, he first I think I mean from what I can recall, first time he kicks out, it's because he puts his foot on the ropes. The second time he crawls out of the ring. And the third time, he still kicks out, but it's unnecessary because the time limit, you know, the time limit hits. I think he would have kicked out right after the ref hit three, but he still shows the kick out to say, like, look, you didn't really beat me yet. And, you know, it adds to the whole story. I mean, it's funny though. I mean, I wonder if you're actually noticing this when you're in the arena, but if you're watching it on TV, you're seeing all these things being pointed out. But in like as you're, you know, these fans are rabid at the time, they're
Yeah, they
going
were
completely
loud.
nuts. So it's like, how do you these, they may be missing these nuances like consciously, they're picking up on it subconsciously, but it's like, you know, it adds to the story because it's showing like, hey, Wyndham could have won it here or Wyndham could have won it there. And he's right in his promo. If I was just a little quicker, you know, crawls over, he stops Flair from, you know, crawling out of the ring. He, you know, he hits the second rope lariat. Instead of allowing Flair some time to, you know, like row over a little bit to get close to the ropes, he could have put his spot, made a lateral press, covered him a lot sooner, something like that, you know. And even from the sense of like the final lariat, you know, setting him up just a second sooner would have gotten him that three count. And it's all part of the story, and it's beautiful. You don't see like I know I've probably said this many times on the show. You don't see that today. It's you want to kick out, you want to make something dramatic. Here's your third attitude adjustment, and he kicks out at 2.9. That's what they're doing today. So much so that in order for John Cena to beat somebody, he has to hit two consecutive ones in a row. The closest we got to a real story with, you know, like a with finishing moves, I guess, was the whole AJ Styles John Cena beat up John Cena storyline. From what I remember, you had AJ lose. AJ beat Cena for the first match. Then they get into a tag match, a triple tag match with Enzo and Cass, and Cena has to beat him with a top rope attitude adjustment. And then the third final match, you see him hit the regular attitude adjustment. Doesn't get a, only gets a two count. He brings him up, hits that top rope one, which we know worked before, got the three count, but it doesn't work here. So then he has to hit, you know, then AJ was able to counter win, you know, get the win that way. But then we get to the third match at the Royal Rumble, and he does the same thing, doesn't work. So he has to put him in two quick attitude adjustments with a roll through. That's the closest we've gotten to where a match had a where there was like a storyline with your finish. And it happened over four matches.
No,
Where
I mean, you're
Wyndham,
completely
it
right.
happened in the span of one match, and it wasn't needless kickouts. It wasn't devaluing the finisher of Flair of Wyndham. It was, you know, oh, foot on the ropes.
I will say
Oh,
this.
crawled out.
Go
It's just
back and watch the Gunther versus Ilya Dragunov matches. 'Cause you get that. You get that type of storytelling in those matches. That's part of what makes them so good. Not only are they brutal and stuff, but you do get that. You get Ilya hitting his hitting his finisher, but in his hubris to get the pin, he doesn't drag Gunther into the ring. So Gunther, reaches out with his foot and gets it up on the ropes. That sort of like thing happens a lot in those matches. Gunther rolls out of the ring. You know what I mean? Like it's there. That's why I'm so big on those guys in particular, because they know how to, especially Gunther knows how to put it. Well, look at the match with Ali, And also Gunther uses a variety of finishing moves. He doesn't just use one, so you never know really what move is going to end the match.
Oh, yeah, and that's another point to bring up in the Flair match too that we just saw. You had like apparently in one point where Wyndham hits a sunset flip, and the crowd's going nuts because, as Tony Schiavone, commented, that was the move that Wyndham used to win his US tag title. And it's like, okay, well then you know it works. So the fans are going nuts for that. So it's why it's great to have multiple finishes that actually work. And it doesn't have to be anything glamorous. Small package, sunset flip, cross body block, anything like that. Like Gunther has what, the power bomb, the sleeper hold, and like the top rope splash and
Top rope splash. He does that.
the clothesline.
He has a lariat. He does like a modification of the clover leaf too, I think, or something like that. He has another like a leg submission move that he does that's pretty brutal looking, if I remember correctly. I think it is like a clover leaf, because I think it's very similar to what Rhea Ripley does, which I wish she would use that a little bit more, because that move is fucking goddamn. When she does, when she puts somebody in that, you're just like, oh, ow.
Yeah, I like it better than the Riptide. Her, whatever that submission is, I love it. I remember watching her put it on Zelina Vega at one point, and because she's so tiny, she's able to lift him off the ground, and it just looks so much more brutal. It's like when Brock put the Brock lock on Rey Mysterio. It just looks so much more impressive when it's against someone smaller in stature. It just looks like they're bending them in half.
Here's a good thing, because you were talking about the finishers and telling a story with them. When so the first time Brock put the Kimura lock on Cody in the match, Brock was on his back, and Cody was kind of on the top to the side of him. So Cody could move and he could breathe. The second time he did it, Brock was on his kind of like on one knee with the other knee out, and he was pressing Cody's throat down into his leg. Go back and watch the match.
Oh yeah,
That's
I
why
saw that.
Cody passes out, is because
Yeah, I
Brock is
mean,
actually using his body weight to create almost a chokehold along with the arm bar,
yeah.
or the arm hold, the Kimura lock. And it really like, it was like, holy shit, that's so cool. Like, you never see a guy adjust the way he puts a submission move on to make it more effective in the process of
Yeah.
a match.
No, and I mean, and then you have people on the on Twitter saying, "Oh, why did he pass out?" Well, it's like, well, look at how he applied the hold.
I mean,
It's not just working the arm. He's basically choking him out. So, it's the little things that people seem to overlook a lot often. But good performers such as Brock, and you got to put Brock up there as one of the best performers out there.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, his
And
selling in that match was
oh.
fantastic too.
Every match he's in, he sells amazing. As long as he wants to work with you, he will sell like crazy for you. He will go full on Dolph Ziggler mode.
It's weird to see him bouncing around like that, but he does. He gets he's got he's great at being weak in the knees, getting back to his feet. You know what I mean? Or like stumbling and it's really good. So
No,
speaking
he really is great.
of really good, we get a great Flair promo after the match where he's talking to Barry and he's like, "There's winners and losers, and
And
I
you're a
got
loser.
this, which makes me the winner, and you're a loser." And then he talks about the Four Horsemen, and I thought this was funny. He says, "Dusty, if you're smart, you'll keep this around." Basically, pulling the curtain back a little bit. Nobody else notices, because nobody knows that Dusty's the booker.
What's
But
funny? For the first time ever today, after he made that comment, I don't know what made me want to do this, but I watched the end credits to the show, and you see Virgil Reynolds as like executive producer. Does not say Dusty Rhodes.
Oh no, that's
No, I
on
mean, of course, and of
purpose.
course it's not, but it's just like, oh yeah, that's where the little jab comes in. I get it now.
But so then we get, Barry delivers his promo and talks about I can beat you. Go to the commercial, come back. We got JJ, Tully, and Arn giving a promo. Tully talks about how when you're a horseman 24 hours a day. You know what I mean? You wake up, you're a horseman. You go to the gym, you're a horseman. You're eating a steak, you're a horseman. You're hanging out with women, you're a horseman. Which was good. And JJ then says that the horsemen don't plan to expand, though. You might. They might be thinking differently of that, because immediately we go into a Lex Luger match versus Randy Mulkey. I wrote Luger's really stiff, which he is. He was particularly stiff in this match. Puts Mulkey up in the torture rack, gets the win, and then JJ comes over to the apron and they say something, and Luger won't talk about it when he's delivering his promo, which I liked. He's like, that's between me and JJ. But he talks about how he likes the money and the lifestyle of the horseman. And then Barry comes out and he says, you don't want to be a horseman, because then you'll have to see me across the ring from you. And Lex Luger basically just tells him to shut up and leave him alone.
Honestly, that was the most compelling argument why you shouldn't be a horseman that Barry has told him so far. And I liked it. I really did, because I mean they play up the non-existent friendship that they have, and but they're basically saying, yeah, you sign up with them, you're going against me. And Luger's like, whatever. He is completely dismissive of it.
Well, he's the greatest thing going in sports today.
That is true.
Go to commercial, come back, get an LOD promo. What is it? Animal talks about how nobody wants to fight us, which is probably true.
You almost kill people in the ring. Of course, no one wants to fight you.
Literally. And then we take a trip down to Slug City with Hawk. And when they're about to leave, and Tony gives Paul Ellering a copy of Starrcade '86, and of course Paul kind of plugs it, which we get a much better plug later, and I'll talk about that when it happens. But the Starrcade '86 VHS is out, folks. You got to get it. Need to get it. Knight of the Skywalkers, Nikita versus Ric Flair. But let's see, we come back. They announce the Brad Armstrong match, go to break and come back. I liked this match against Gary Royal. I thought it was a little too competitive for Brad. I think he should have
That's
won
what I
it.
put down. I was kind of surprised it was competitive as it was.
But the two things I really liked, I loved Brad was a little bit more aggressive, especially in the beginning of this match. He hit that crossbody, which always looks good. I liked what he was trying to do with that transition into the Russian leg sweep. I just don't think Gary Royal understood what he was trying to do
No, Gary looked
because
confused.
Gary was like, "What? Huh?" Let's see, we get a rock and roll, but yeah, so good, another good showing for Brad Armstrong, of course. But yeah, a little too competitive. Don't need to have great matches with the job guys.
No.
And
I mean, I get what they're doing. They're trying to establish Brad as a threat to Flair now by showing that he can, make comebacks, that he can fight from behind. But it was not, that was not how you do it with.
You don't fight from underneath to Gary Royal.
No,
And
give him anybody else. I
give him
mean,
Big Bill Tab, man. He could,
yeah, there you
like,
go.
that's a guy that, looks like somebody you would fight under from underneath against because he's
Yeah.
huge. Let's see. Rock and Roll Express promo. David Allen Coe comes out. Everybody fawns over David Allen Coe.
I'm
Apparently,
gonna
he
admit that I
was.
had to look up who that was. I was assuming it was some celebrity,
Country
and it
music singer,
was,
yeah.
yeah. But I was like, I have no idea who this is, and I'm sorry.
But let's see, then we get a commercial break, come back, Dusty and Nikita promo. Nikita's tired of the horsemen, so again, here we got more people talking about the horsemen. Basically, we've had the horsemen mentioned or on screen in just about every
It was
segment.
every segment. If it wasn't a match, I mean, I'm sure Tony might have mentioned it sometime during the interview when he was doing color commentary, but every promo involved the horseman.
So, and when we got Dusty put Nikita over real big. And then apparently February 1st, it's going to be Dusty and Nikita versus Ivan. Or, yeah, Ivan and
Ivan
Vladimir.
Pet, yeah, Petrov.
Which, I hope we get to see some of that match. I'm sure we'll get to see a VTR of it. Let's see. Rock and Roll versus David Isley. And was it Eddie or Andy Roberts? I can't remember. Or I
Know,
couldn't tell.
I did not write that down. I rarely write the jobbers down.
Let's say that Roberts got actually looked good. Rock and Roll Express do some great teamwork and hot and tags in this one. Eventually hit the double drop kick. But this is the best the Rock and Roll Express has looked on TV in a while, I
Yeah,
thought.
and it was Eddie Roberts, by the way. I
Eddie
looked it up.
Roberts, okay.
Yeah.
Was it Dundee and Garvin give a promo? Of course, Dundee's a million miles a minute, basically saying that he's bringing the title, his title back to Memphis. To probably do something with Jerry the King Lawler, most likely, because that was his big feud. And Jimmy Garvin, they had to hold me back. I've been back there. I just wanted to slap somebody. Just wanted to smack someone. I don't know if I want to smack Brad Armstrong or if I want to smack the Rock and Roll Express. So anyway, I thought that was fun. Jimmy Garvin cracks me up.
Yeah.
I still think that if they could somehow get oh God. Oh my God, why am I blanking on his name now? Just came up to SmackDown. To the moon.
Cameron Grimes?
Cameron Grimes, if they could get Cameron Grimes to study Jimmy Garvin's promos, man, he would be unstoppable because he's got the voice, he's got the look, like, you know what I mean? He's got that same type of energy. If they could get him back, because that was what won people over, is he's just so damn goofy, you know? But anyway, let's see. We get go to commercial, come back, get Rude and Bull versus Chase McQuaid and Tommy Angel. they were torturing poor Chase on his arm. And then, oh yeah, this is where I wrote Tony's doing better on commentary in this episode. I felt like Tony, instead of trying to do it move for move like he was the last time he was on his own, spent the majority of the matches kind of talking about the storyline and talking about the people in the matches instead of, talking about what moves they were doing, which made it a lot less dry. Because I don't need to know that, they've been attacking his arm for like 3 minutes. Like, yeah, they're still attacking his arm. You know what I mean? But when you hear, nobody thought that they would be champions this long. And I think that, like that's something. And they have certainly started to come into their own and whatnot. Afterwards, there's a promo. All I wrote was Rude is getting so much better that he needs to be a single competitor soon.
I wrote something very, very similar. Like
Because.
it was more of along the lines of Rude is going to be a single star event as sooner than later
Yeah.
because they're teasing it.
Well, he's just so much better
Yeah. Than
than
Manny.
Manny and Paul Jones. You know what I mean? Like he needs to be on his own or cutting the majority of his promos himself for just
Yeah.
himself because he's gold. Well, I mean, we know Rick Rude is gold, but this isn't Rick Rude like Rick Rude. This is like the like pupa stage of Rick Rude, if that makes any sense. You know what I
It
mean?
does.
Because he's still really learning and he's still green. He's honing his craft and figuring out his character. But every week I see him, or every week I hear on his promos, he's getting better and better. His in-ring work is getting better, but he's in a tag team, so you can't judge his singles work by what he does in a tag team.
Yeah.
Especially when the other person in the tag team is Manny Fernandez, who I like you, Manny, but go to commercial, come back. We get Vlad versus somebody Martin. I wrote that Vlad's getting better. The Russian hammer off the second rope looked a million times better this week than it did last week. So,
I mean, it was shot better.
okay, well, maybe that's it too. I don't
I mean,
know. I'm trying to give Vlad the benefit of the doubt here.
you know what though? His fisherman suplex looked really impressive.
That sickle looked good too.
Yeah. I mean,
The
he was
clothesline.
showing, he probably looked the best he's been since I've been watching him. So good for him. I think that they should move away from the Russian Russian hammer.
Yeah.
Do it with that fisherman suplex looked. I mean, it wasn't one that he hooked for a pin. It was just he grabbed his legs as he was taking them up for a suplex. It looked pretty devastating. I would have kept that. I would have made
Yeah.
that his finish.
Well, I mean, that's true. They might do something like that. I saw him in there, and I know why while the hammer isn't, while the Russian hammer isn't looking as good off the second rope.
Yeah.
He's hesitant. He doesn't want to hurt the other guy, because
Yeah.
there was he did a he delivered a backdrop to the guy, and he almost like set the guy down on his knee like he was a baby. You know what I mean? Like it was like very like, so you could
He's trying to
tell he
protect
was
them, which is
trying to
good.
protect his opponent, which is good. Yeah, you want to do that, but you also it needs to look real.
Yeah.
So anyway, then we get Cornette promo and intro, and this was what made me want to buy the Starrcade tape. Jimmy Cornette talking about, I can't believe you would sell something that shows me getting injured on it. Why would you sell a tape that made my mama cry? Why would you see me hurt like that? Why who would want to see that? What kind of sick person would want to see that? And I'm like, well, there you go. There's your sell right there. Like, watch the most obnoxious
100%.
man in professional wrestling get injured. Like,
Percent. Yeah.
and of course, that's who Jim is. Let's see. Then we get the Midnight Express and Bubba versus George South, Bill Mulkey, and somebody else. I didn't catch their name. South takes a floor bump, which was good. For once the Mulkey doesn't take a floor bump. I like Jim talked about the magnitude of our supremacy. That was a nice little verbal quip there.
Yeah.
I loved the double backdrop into the kind of tombstone pile driver, the Bubba spike. I was
It
like,
was more of a power bomb, I think.
okay, well,
Or sit
into
down
the
power
power
bomb.
bomb, into the sit down power bomb. Either way, it looked really good. I was like,
It really
that's.
did. I really was impressed by that. I've been impressed by I think last week they had a good finish too.
Yeah, last week wasn't the two-man flapjack. It was oh God, I don't remember what it was.
It was something I remember saying like wow, and I remember thinking like these guys are being very innovative in these matches, and they're using
No, it
moves that I
was
have
the
seen.
last week they used the rocket launcher, didn't they?
That was 2 weeks ago, I think. We're gonna look this up.
Hold on. Well, I mean, I've got it right here. Let me see. Oh shit, yeah, we got to look at our numbers from last week too.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah, they used the rocket launcher last
Was the
week.
rocket launcher?
Yeah,
Okay.
the episode before was when they did the two-man flapjack.
Gotcha. Every week they're coming up with something new to finish, which I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah, because last week Bobby pinned the guy with one finger.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what, like, again, Jim Cornette invented a ton of wrestling moves that people still use today, variations of it. So, whatever there, Vince Russo, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Look, if I'm gonna if there's two guys that talk shit about each other, and one of them has basically held every possible position in the wrestling industry for pretty much every company that's been successful, and one of them is a writer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to believe the
Yeah,
guy who's innovated wrestling and been a top guy pretty much everywhere he's ever gone.
yeah.
But hey, let's see. They get done with that. Jim Cornette calls Ronnie Garvin a coward, which I was like, oh, well, there we go. This is starting to heat up. And then he said that Big Bubba is going to make Dusty look like a make you look like a bowl of coleslaw, which I don't even know what that means, but I wrote it down. You know, like what does that mean, a bowl of coleslaw?
I mean, I'm guessing it looks like mush,
Yeah,
but that's the best I can come up with.
I don't know. I thought the tomato through a screen door
That was the best
analogy
one.
was
That
better.
was his better one. He should just
Yeah.
keep it at. If Dusty can use funky like a monkey every week, he can use the tomato through a screen door.
Get funky like a monkey tour 87.
Yep.
Then we go to commercial comeback. Arn beats Bill Tabb with a spine buster. And then Lex delivers a promo, basically the same promo he's been delivering. But I was like, this guy already looks and dresses like a horseman. Like, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, he's out there and like he easily fits in with Tully and Rick out there
He's
in their
dressing better than some of
suits.
the horsemen too. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
like he looks the part. He acts the part. I mean, and the promo was a little different too.
Yeah. It
I mean, he
was.
was talking about how now everybody in the locker room is against him for wanting to be a horseman,
Yeah.
or at least they're reacting to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's showing that it's having far-reaching consequences now.
Oh, yeah.
So at the very least, we know that if this goes south and he doesn't become a horseman, he's already made a lot of enemies. It's basically the implication there.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, even if he does, behooves him to become a horseman even more because you need somebody to watch your back then.
Yeah, now he
But
needs backup.
yeah. And who's he going to
I
get?
like, you know, I like all the implications here they're doing too with the promos. Where I was it JJ who said we're not adding, or was it
We're
Tully?
not ready to expand. We're not
Yeah,
expanding.
well, you
And
know, to
Tully
me,
talked about there's only four.
yeah, and that to me is like, okay, there's only four. Four to expand means five.
Yeah.
If you take someone out of the group, they're planting seeds, especially since Ollie didn't come up, then it wasn't there again. He was there for the Brad Armstrong beatdown,
Yeah.
but he wasn't there for Rick's match. He wasn't there for any of those promo segments. So they're kind of hinting it. And I mean, I don't know what's going on backstage with Ollie, but they're definitely getting ready for him to, exit the company or exit the Horsemen. So or exit maybe active competition. I don't know. Again, I don't know my history on when it comes to that, so I don't know where Ollie's going next. But they're definitely they've definitely planted the seeds to where, yeah, there's only going to be a four horsemen. It's not going to be the horsemen.
Yeah.
So now I don't know. I know Luger becomes a horseman member eventually. I don't know if anyone becomes before him. I don't think they do. I don't think is it Wyndham doesn't go before Luger, right?
Spoilers.
Okay, no spoilers. No spoilers. We're talking as
Can't
if we're
tell
in a
you.
vacuum. We're
We're
talking
talking
as if we're in
about
a
this.
vacuum.
We're talking about this show from 1987, and
Yeah.
we're like, I don't know what's going to happen next. I wonder what happens next.
Yeah,
See, here, well, here
we
you go,
can't we can't,
folks.
you know. I mean that's what makes good storytelling.
That this
I'm not
speaks.
wondering what's going to happen in WWE. I'm sure as hell not wondering what's happening in AEW. But with like this, something that came on in 1987, 3 years after I was born, I'm still wanting to talk about and figure out what's happening next. I could easily look it up, but I'm like, and if you knew me personally, I think like
Yeah.
I'm the guy that will go to a Marvel movie and read the entire, plot
Yeah.
just to see who dies
Yeah.
before I, plop down my $13 to go see the movie. I could easily access store like results and
Oh, yeah.
storylines and history up for this, but I'm refusing to do it because I am that engaged in this com in the story right now. I want to know where it's going. I want to know what's happening.
But they
And it's
but this type of wrestling doesn't work anymore. People don't want to see this.
really? That's sad.
That's what I always say. That's what people always tell me when I'm like, they're like, "Oh, what do you like? Attitude Era?" And I'm like, "No, I like mid late 80s Jim Crockett Promotions, Southern style wrestling." And they're like, "Oh, well, that's that we've moved way beyond that." And I'm like, "Have you? Have you really? Because to me, it seems like this is much better engaging television than probably I'd say at least 75% of wrestling that's presented on screen today."
And it's very simple to understand why. You actually do have in-ring action. you have them actually selling like it's hurting, like it's actually look like, you know, like the simplest body slam looks like they've blown out their back. Whereas today, you need a Canadian destroyer on top of a flaming table just to put them down for a one count.
Hold on, I'll be right back. Go ahead.
I'll talk a little more. The storylines aren't convoluted, and you actually, you know, you don't need 500 different moving parts and twist after twist to make it work. You just need clearly defined villains and heroes, and you need to just give them one set of objectives, and you don't need to make them doing all these twists and turns and have, you know, all these like mystery surprises. Just have, you know, have a simple, straight storyline. Keep it simple.
Here's another
and
thing.
And it's 100% more engaging.
You never have the baby faces and the heels face to face talking at each other. Never. It doesn't
I
happen.
mean, look.
Or if it does happen, it ends up like what happened to old Brad Armstrong. Somebody ends up getting a beat down because somebody says something that is the other person's not going to let slide, and it ends up in a brawl.
Exactly. They're not trying. They're not friends. They're not. You know. They're not keeping everything civil. You put them in there. They're combustible elements, and it's gonna blow up. They're gonna fight each other, and that's what makes it more compelling. Because that's what, like, if I all I know is, and I say this because, you know, like I was engaged in these feuds, okay? But when you have a guy like AJ Styles across the ring from a guy who's punted him in the nuts more times than any person should be ever like kicked down there. You don't start the match with a collar elbow tie up. You don't start the match with a headlock. And I mean, that's the producer's fault. I'm sure AJ and Nakamura are just going by what they're saying, you know? But you have them basically do a blood feud. You know, like you basically tell them go out there and start hitting each other. And that's what you're seeing here. You know, you're seeing like headlock takedowns in exhibition matches. But when you put Barry and Flair in a match where they've already, you know, where they're just basically hating each other, you're seeing them hit power moves. You're seeing them hit a power slam, a diving
Well,
clothesline.
I'm sure that that match started off
Oh yeah, I'm
with
sure it
them
started off
testing each other out.
yeah, but they engaged themselves fast, and it got to the point where they're just going for broke. They're going for everything they can possibly hit. They're throwing everything at each other, and they're not just, you know, and they're, you know, it's not, they're not just. They're not
Well,
doing anything for the sake
and
of, they're not moving for the sake of moving. They're moving with purpose.
they aren't just getting kicking out at two, too.
Yeah.
That's there's another thing is they're using the ring and they're using the all the space available to them to continue the match without really burying any of the moves that they're doing to each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
Exactly.
you know, when Flair puts on the figure four and then Barry spends, you know, the next couple sequences selling his knee. Now, of course, he's a baby face, so he's got to fire up and come back, and he can't sell that knee forever. But the fact that he does and he sells it really well registers. You know what I mean? What else was I going to say? The baby faces and heels are never face to face, and everybody reacts to everything that happens on the show. That's another thing. Like, you know, in segment one, if something happens, like to like let's say Barry Windham in segment one, in segment five, Dusty doesn't come out and just ignore what happened to Barry in segment one and not talk about it. You see
Exactly.
what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have to talk about it a long time, but he should at least mention it because that's his friend, that's a fellow baby face, that's somebody going up against the Horsemen. He should, you know, acknowledge that that happened. Like, he's actually in the back watching the show. You know what I mean? Like, so many times in WWE, you'll see something happen, a guy will get just assaulted in the ring, and then
And
nobody
no one pays
mentions
attention to
it.
it.
Yeah, nobody says anything about it for the rest of the show during in their interviews, and it's like, well, that's dumb. Like, you're not watching the show, or what's going on, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, and baby faces coming out to make saves. I hate this. And you know, this hasn't happened in a couple weeks. I think it was when Barry got assaulted by the Four Horsemen. But then, like, and you had all kinds, you had like Bill Mahlke and Tim Horner, and I think Ronnie Garvin, and just an odd collection of baby faces flood into the ring, you know, to clear the bad guys and make sure that Barry's okay.
Yeah.
That never happens in WWE. The only
No, and
person
that's what
that
I was
makes a
talking about
save
too.
is somebody who is already in the program.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a random bunch of referees and security guys that get beat up. And it's like, where are, like, is nobody else friends with anybody else? Like, you know, like, I'm sorry, but where's Xavier Woods? He doesn't want to come out and help his friend that he was just, you know, in a tag team match or talking to backstage like 2 weeks ago. Anyway.
Oh, and that was my point earlier. I mean, you have, like, with the bloodline, you easily could have send out Gable and Otis at one point. And even if they don't get the, you know, get one over on the bloodline, at least they're out there trying to save whoever they're beating down.
Yeah. And I mean, again, and also, that would be a great way to get guys on the car, get guys on in matches that maybe you don't have anything for creatively. You know what I mean? Maybe a guy's not in a program, but he runs out in segment three to make a save for a fellow babyface and then ends up in a tag team match with that guy. You know, like what would make sense if you were actually running a wrestling program?
Mm-hmm.
But again, what do I know? I've only been watching this my whole life. Oh. No, I'm kidding. I really
you haven't written a TV show yet for you know with convoluted storylines. Oh. Once you reach that level, you have every right to talk about it.
Ooh,
and your opinion can be mattered. Can matter.
Hold on, let me make sure that those numbers are right. We're apparently driving away viewers instead of bringing them in. Oof. Well, let's see. Last week's episode.
We're too long. We're going too long. That's all it means.
Last week's episode has 4 plays. The episode before that has 7. The best and worst of Mania Weekend, which was all the way back, which was April 12th, has 14. Oof. Starcade 83.
You know what it is?
December.
We're going too long. We're talking. It was an hour and a half show, and we went for 2.5 hours. However long it was, that's the issue.
Even, it was like 2 hours. I don't think that that's it because I think people just don't like the WCW stuff as much as we do.
That could be it too.
I don't know.
We're doing everything, you know, right. we're attacking AEW. we're talking about modern stuff. It's only the back end of the show that gets the old stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I don't know. Well, next week, maybe we need to do another retro review. Well, okay, so we're not. I'm going. Okay, next week we're going to do one more because we'll do January 30th on this next one because that'll be the last show in January of 87. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do a WWE one, and then we'll do another 4 episodes of WCW, and we'll see how that goes. Okay. I like watching this old WCW stuff, and it's only an hour and a half. It's easy to review. Because we're going to have to take – it's probably going to take 2 weeks for me to review the WWF stuff. Because this will be like, I want to say, SummerSlam 2002 or something. So – okay. I'm sure it'll be a mixed bag of a show, but but next week, same bat time, same bat channel, WCW January 30th, 1987. We'll see what happens with this, with Lex Luger and Barry. And, I saw the very open of it. Looks like we might get a little bit more into the, US tag team title, feud too, which would be nice because the Midnight Express and Ronnie Garvin and Barry Windham haven't had much interaction. So I'd like to,
that is true.
I'd like to see Barry focus on that a little bit more or something. They got to get those titles on the Midnight, I think. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that just about wraps it up for today. You got anything else?
No, I'm good this week.
Sweet. Yeah, I think I'm good on it myself. All right then, folks. Thank you all for listening. If you made it this far, you're a real trooper, and we appreciate the heck out of you. Anyway, until next time, I am Dr. Bob. He is Lawyer Rob. We'll see you on the flip side and on the fr oh Jesus, I'm buggering this all up.
It's okay.
Anyway,
You got this. I believe in
in the words of my good friend Arn Anderson, it's been your pleasure. So long.